had last night. This morning, as we look at Paul, Saul, it was before Paul's conversion, and he was a Jew, and Paul is trying his best to live into the law. Anybody ever seen anybody try to live into the law? It don't work. You cannot do it, because no matter what you're doing, where there's a law concerned, you cannot live into it 100% of the time. But Paul, he was determined that he was going to see everyone live into this Jewish law, Saul was. And so he was a Pharisee that he did not like the Christian movement at all. Well, the new Christian movement that had taken place, they called it the Way. And that was the movement that was going on at that given time. Now, you stop and you think about it and you say, well, why would they have called it the Way? Well, Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we know that the Way, he calls himself the Way. And so we see that that's probably why they named this movement the Way. And so we also know that the Christian movement was talked about in Matthew 25 when Jesus said that we need to go and make disciples of all the nations. And so people are beginning to move. They're leaving Jerusalem and they're going to other places with this movement called the Way, the Christian movement. And it's the same thing that we're seeing with Grace Life Church and with other churches throughout the world. And they are leaving their denominational background and they're beginning a non-denominational group of just people that love the Lord and want to hear the Scripture. And so we don't call it the Way, but you could call it the Way, because it's a movement, a new movement. But Paul was, he was distraught about it. So we're going to read the Scripture and then we're going to talk about it. But it says in Acts 9 that Saul, now he's going by Saul here. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Now, we know he just killed Stephen. We had been there and he was there watching that. And so he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the Way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we see, folks, that Saul, he was so legalistic that he's gone to the main church and he says, give me a letter that I can go to Damascus and I can make these people, it's over these synagogues, tell me who it is that's believing in Christianity, who it is that's following Jesus Christ, who it is that I need to arrest and bring back to Jerusalem. So he has this letter in his pocket that they have given him, and he's on his way. Jesus has just died, ascended into heaven, not long before this. And Jesus is saying, I didn't do this. I didn't come down here and die. I died for each one of y'all. Each one of y'all's sins. I died because I love you. I died because the Father sent me This is his plan. And nobody like Saul is going to disrupt my plan. And so, as he's going into town, we see that this bright light shined upon Saul and the men that were with him. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment, folks. He was on his way to arrest the Christians, to bring them back to Jerusalem, when this light hits him. It hit everybody around him. It would be like shining a light just right here, and everybody around us would go be affected by this light. But yet, Paul was the one that received the majority of that light. He was the one being spoken to. It was Jesus Christ in that light speaking to Saul. It was Jesus that he saw. Nobody else saw Jesus. Nobody else had the same reaction that Paul had, Saul had. And folks, this is where today we all come to know Jesus Christ in different ways. Every one of us here this morning, I'm hoping 100% that no one came to hear me. Everybody came to hear about the Word, to hear the Word of God, to know about Jesus Christ, to build your relationship, to draw closer to God. That's what we come for. We have had a conversion, or we're thinking about having a conversion. We're thinking about changing our life. And this is what Paul had happened to him, just like that right there. So many times it doesn't happen that quick. So many times it happens over a period of time. That's all wonderful. But never, ever, folks, let me tell you, never, ever tell someone, because you didn't have that slap down moment like Saul did, you probably not saved. That's not true. Everyone comes to Jesus under different circumstances. That's between them and Jesus Christ, not us. So we cannot be saying to anyone about their conversion experience. We just know about our own. That's all we know about. But here we see that as Paul was preparing to take the people back, we see that this light hits Paul, and it blinds him. And he's having to be led by hand back to town. So as we see this light hit Paul, He didn't know Jesus. He never had an encounter with Jesus. He had never even expected to have an encounter with Jesus, because Jesus had done gone to be with the Father. But yet Jesus was right there speaking to him. And so as we see that Jesus is there speaking to him, we see that Paul asks a question. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Paul is wanting to know, are you really the Lord? How would he have known that? Well, I don't know about y'all, but I think when the Lord speaks to us, we know who it is. We know who it is, because the Lord speaks to us in a different way than anyone else has ever spoken to us. And Paul knew it as well. And the voice said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. You see, Paul knew at that given moment, he knew that he was the one that was doing the wrong thing. Even though he thought he was doing right, he was doing wrong. You ever done anything like that? You think you're doing right? You think you know the deal? You think you are doing what's supposed to be done? Yet you're doing wrong. You're not doing anything to help the church, or to help your neighbor or your fellow man. You're doing wrong. But you don't realize it. You don't see it. Folks, so many times we as Christians, Mike included, myself included, we think we are on the right track of doing everything we're doing is right down the line of what God would have us to do. If you're not asking and praying to the Lord above and listening to the Holy Spirit, you may or may not be on the right track. You need to be hearing what God is saying to you. You need to be knowing who His voice is. You need to listen. I have to listen very closely sometimes because Mike likes to do Mike things. I like to do Mike things so much that they got me a hat that said, Mike doing Mike things. And I mean, that's not good, you know. I got a shirt that says, Slow Daddy doing Slow Daddy things. That's not good. So you have to stop and you have to think about yourself. As we stop and we think about Saul and he's in this condition, he's on the ground, and he is basically lifeless. He cannot do anything. And he opens his eyes and he cannot see. He's blind. And when we ourselves, folks, when we open our eyes, sometimes we cannot see. We cannot see ourselves. This is Mike. This is not scripture. This is Mike. But I find myself. I'll tell you how I find myself. I see God dealing with me. And I see Him, bam, closing my eyes sometimes so I have an opportunity to look inside of me. I have the opportunity to examine my own self. So many times I've been knocked down with sickness or lots of different things. And it gives me time, folks, to examine myself. Because so many times I have, personally, I have found myself so caught up in my own life that I don't have time to do the things that God wants me to do, to look at the needs around me, to know God's will in my life. And I think this is where Paul was. He was so interested in making a name for himself as a Pharisee, as a legalistic person. He was so involved in carrying out the law that he never even thought about looking at himself, at his sins, or at the way he lived his life. And I think that was what happened when Jesus closed his eyes for 3 days. He didn't eat and he didn't drink, but he had time to think about what Jesus wanted him to do. I know in my own life, I can't speak for nobody else, folks, but I know in my own life, when Jesus has knocked me down and I have had time to lay in the bed and I've had time to spend thinking about my life, very seldom am I satisfied with the way I'm living my life at the end of that time when I'm able to get back up and go again. Very seldom am I 100% satisfied with Mike. During that time, I have had opportunity to think about changes that need to be made in my life. Changes of doing more for the gospel, doing more for the Lord, of bringing the message to other people that I haven't had the opportunity to do or haven't taken the time to do or taken the time to maybe stop and visit with my neighbor as I should. And I think Paul was very much that way. He was very much on a mission of his own. We know he was. He didn't have God in mind. He thought he was doing the right thing by just teaching the laws of God and nothing about what's in your heart. And Jesus, when he struck him with that light, he knew that he had closed his eyes for a reason. So we know that it's during these times that we see ourselves in Paul, in Saul. He was still Saul then. So, folks, I think as we think about our Christian life, we think about our relationship with the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I see myself in Paul a whole lot right here. Because a lot of the times when before I surrendered my whole life to the Lord to follow Him and to do His will and not do so much Mike's will, even though I still want to do Mike's will. It's just the human side of me, the humanness in me. I've, I desired for people it didn't matter. I tell you, it don't matter if you are in church. It don't matter. You can worship the Lord out in the woods. You can worship the Lord on the river. You can worship the Lord anywhere. That's maybe true, but it's not true. Because you need to be in a body. Christ, the church, is Christ's body. You need to be in the body of Christ when you worship Jesus on Sunday morning. It's just the same principle as these rechargeable batteries that we have in everything nowadays. And you don't put it back in the recharge, and it's dead. And it doesn't do you any good. It might come on, and it might blow just for a minute, or it might drill one hole, but it don't do you any good. But that's where we're at. We as people today, we as people do not desire to take the word of God to our neighbor or to the others around us. They'll be offended if I speak about Jesus to them. Well, what if they're offended? Well, they might not come back over and have coffee with me in the morning if I talk about Jesus this morning. And I enjoy our coffee time that we have, and we kind of catch up on the world stuff. What difference does it make? If they don't want to hear about Jesus, then they don't need to come over. But you know what it might do? It might put a little something in their head that they think, well, you know what? I enjoyed that conversation yesterday morning. I think I'll go back and have coffee again tomorrow morning. And let's see if we talk a little further about that conversation. It opens up doors. It opens up opportunities. And so we know that as Paul laid there for 3 days, he had the opportunity to think and to study about what he was going to do different. And we know that when he comes to himself, and we'll learn next week, that when he comes to himself, from that day forward, he was never the same, folks. The gospel, the word, transforms us. I can't make anybody any different than they already are. I can't do it. I can tell you, I can talk to you all day. But this word right here, the word of God, is what transforms you. It's what lives in your heart. It's what makes you know and understand who God is and who Jesus is and how Jesus loves you. And it's through this word that you will grow your relationship. It's not through Mike. I can put the little bug in your ear like you put the sugar in your coffee or the creamer in your coffee. I can do that. But that's all I can do. That's all I can do. But Jesus Christ, just as he did to Paul, he can speak to you. Now, I've been where Paul was at. I've been knocked down pretty hard by the Lord. And it's got my attention. 2 or 3 times he's had to slap me down. He didn't just have to one time. Saul was a little more open to the fact that God has control than I was. And it took a little longer for me to really get to the gist of this. But you know what? He loved me enough that he allowed me to have that opportunity for it to finally click. Mike, this is what we're going to be doing. Jesus says, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Not what I'd like for you to do, but what you must do. Folks, as you grow your relationship with Christ, it's probably going to require you to do something that you must do. Now, you may do it or you may not do it. Now, you're totally got a free will. But he is saying to each one of us, I've got something for each one of you to do. You must do it. You must do it. But if you decide not to do it, there's nothing I can do about it. But if you do it, the blessings, look at what Paul's life was like after he went from being Saul to Paul. The blessings that he had, the blessings that was poured out upon him. Were they all good days? No, man, that guy was shipwrecked. He was everything. lots of things, put in jail. But think about the closeness that he had to Jesus Christ as he grew his relationship with the Lord. As he grew that relationship, I want you to think about Philippians 1:21. He says, "For me to live, for to me living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live." Folks, that's the way we need to be. We need to be to a point in our life where we know that being with Christ is what we desire, what we love, what we're looking forward to. But for me to be here with you is far better for Christ, because I'm trying to teach and to bring the word to you each and every Sunday, as Brian does. So we desire to go and to live with the Lord in heaven, but we also know that if we're going to live here on this earth, there's things that we must do. We must do. Whatever it is God has laid upon your heart, whoever it is he's asked you to speak to, whatever he's asked you to do, you are his hands and feet. That's all he's got here. So don't just put it off. Don't just stick it in your back pocket and walk off. Listen to what he says. Go and do his will. And enjoy doing it, folks. Enjoy it. Because Paul, after he was converted, Paul enjoyed every minute of it. He loved it. And I think everyone will tell you that tries to bring the word to the flock that it's the most enjoyable thing in the world. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But it is a wonderful thing when we are asked by the Lord to come and to teach and to preach the message. And as we read in the pouring of the water, it doesn't matter who's preaching or who's teaching. We're all here to teach the same thing, the very same thing, that Jesus Christ died for our sin, and he is the Son of God. I hope everyone knows that. I hope everyone has made that decision in their life to come to know him and to have that personal relationship as Paul did. During that dark time in our life, use it, folks. Use it to think about what God is trying to tell you. Because every day won't be great. It won't be the brightest day that you've ever had or may have in the future. But use those days to reflect upon your own self, not to feel sorry for yourself. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.